Today, on The Exam Room.
I'm of the belief that herbs and spices can absolutely be contributory to making people who have gut symptoms actually improve those gut symptoms. This isn't theoretical and this isn't fluffy stuff. This is legit science, and there's actually substantial evidence to back this up.
Welcome to the Exam Room Podcast, brought to you by the Physicians Committee. Hi, I'm the weight loss champion, Chuck Carroll, raising health IQs coast to coast and around the world. Hi to the Exam Roomies listening in Syracuse, New York, El Segundo, California, and Brisbane, Australia. Wherever you are, we appreciate you helping to make the world a healthier place. This is episode 98 of season 7, number 597 overall. And this one is all about a not-so-secret blend of herbs and spices to get your gut feeling its best. Which ones can help get your digestive tract back on track? We're going to find out, because we're talking about constipation and heartburn and indigestion, gas and bloating. And when it comes to all of those, is cinnamon the key? Or what about turmeric or fennel or ginger? Well, let's find out from a man who loves to talk about all things number two, but he is number one in your heart. But still, his toilet calls him number three because he is the bathroom intimidator. Here to drop bombs with us today of knowledge, he is the king of the colon, the one, the only, Dr. Will Bolsiewicz. He joined us this week on the Exam Room Live. But before we go any further and dip into the show, how about planning a sweet trip to party with us in Miami on March 7th? Yeah, that's right. If you're living up north, come escape the cold, as Dr. B and I will be going on stage to tape an episode of the Exam Room Live and in person in front of a crowd for the very first time. March 7th, right before Dr. Neil Barnard's Bon Voyage Bash. So you're getting two big events on one big day. Tickets to Dr. Barnard's party are already on sale, and tickets to the podcast are going up very, very, very soon. So stay tuned for that. But bottom line, Dr. Bolsiewicz and I will be at both events, and we would love for you to be there too. Hang out with us March 7th. Tickets on sale to the bash right now. PCRM.org/events, or click the link in the episode notes and stay tuned. Ticket information for the podcast coming very soon. But right now, it is time to spice up our gut health with the Pharaoh of Fiber, the King of the Throne, the one, the only, Dr. Will Bolsiewicz, right here on the Exam Room Live. What's up, Intimidator?
That's flying. That's something flying over the heads of
The NASCAR reference didn't land with you, did it?
I know what you're talking about, and it's amazing. Yes. But we're also talking about 20 years ago.
Let's talk about herbs, spices, and bloating. A lot of people, when they get bloated, they reach for, you know, that pack of Tums, or they get Pepto-Bismol or something like that. But then you have this other crowd that's like, well, herbs and spices could actually do the trick. What do you know in terms of overall how well an herb or a spice could work, going that more holistic route to treat a lot of GI symptoms?
I mean, I'm of the belief that herbs and spices can absolutely be contributory to making people who have gut symptoms actually improve those gut symptoms. This isn't theoretical and this isn't fluffy stuff. This is legit science, and there's actually substantial evidence to back this up. So, and you know, I think the place that I'd like to start before we jump into a broader discussion about herbs and spices is to say this, that you know, herbs and spices, like, we love them because of the flavor profile. But the flavor profile comes from specific plant-based chemicals. And those plant-based chemicals turn out to be the exact thing that can provide benefits to our body on a number of different levels, including benefits to the microbiome, benefits to the immune system, meaning reduction of inflammation, and improvements of digestive health, which results in less digestive symptoms. So Chuck, this is the thing that I think is really cool, is that nature has provided these things that we are naturally attracted to, that we naturally find to be delicious, flavorful, and desirable. And at the same time, those things that we find to be delicious, flavorful, and desirable were strategically designed to be healthy because they contain those plant-based phytochemicals. So, and you know, before we move on, one last comment that I just want to say is that I think this is kind of cool because many of the herbs and spices that naturally we would discuss, they came up in more Eastern medical tradition. So an example of this would be Ayurveda. And Ayurveda, practiced in India, has a history of like basically 5,000 years, right? And they may not describe things exactly the way that we would describe them in the 21st century using our advanced scientific tools. But science is the product of observation. And observation can come in many forms. And that includes like having a data set in the 21st century, but it also includes experience over 5,000 years. And so it's kind of fascinating to just consider that many of the things that we're going to discuss today, the origins actually are in Ayurveda, and modern science is validating them.
All right, well, let's dive into it. Open up that doctor's mailbag. By the way, if you have a question for Dr. B, post it in the comments or in the chat. We're going to get to as many as we can here on the show today. And we're going to start with a question from Emily, who is wondering, what are the best herbs and spices for IBS and reducing bloating?
All right, cool. Hey, Emily. So let me put a couple on the table. Okay. And we may come back to some of these because they're just so good. So, but when I think about reducing bloating, one of the ones that I think of is ginger. Ginger, we would describe it as anti-carminative. And this means that it reduces bloating. Ginger actually has motility effects. It helps to basically move things through our body. So one would be ginger. A second is peppermint. Peppermint has an incredible amount of evidence to show that it helps people not just with bloating but also with irritable bowel syndrome. It's the menthol. So you think about things like Vicks VapoRub, right? Something like this, and it's got that like that smell. That's the menthol that you're smelling. It's the same thing that you find in peppermint that naturally exists in nature. And menthol, when you expose the small intestine to menthol from peppermint, it actually has like a soothing effect and it gets things nice and relaxed. So it's good not only for bloating, it's also good for irritable bowel syndrome. And then the last that I would put out there, and by the way, I could keep going, there's others, but these, I think to me, this is where I would start as like the most valuable. If you ever go, so I mentioned a moment ago, Eastern traditions and medicine in India. And if you go to an Indian restaurant, you will typically find that there's a bowl of fennel seeds sitting at the front. And this is part of tradition, actually, is that in India, when they consume their meal, they will actually chew on fennel seeds. And the oil from the fennel seed, when you chew on it, actually has a soothing effect on the body as well. Now, Chuck, I should add, whether it's bloating or IBS, a warm beverage does have a soothing effect. And that could literally be water. You don't have to add anything to it. You could literally just do warm water. But in the case of ginger and peppermint and fennel, we have the opportunity to make tea. And this is one of the things that if you're having a meal and you have some bloating after that meal, one of the things you could do is make a tea using one of these ingredients that may be available in your spice rack. You should also take a walk, by the way. Taking a walk can help with this as well.
Yeah, that's really interesting about the peppermint and the menthol, because everybody should be familiar with Vicks, and you put that on and you inhale it. And it's like you can, a lot of times, just kind of feel like your lungs just relax. And I like the way that you described it. It helps your GI tract kind of relax as well. And I guess that makes sense when it gets exposed to that, that same kind of soothing effect would be there. That's pretty interesting. My question, though, would be, okay, well, what if we're talking about a peppermint mocha, you know, triple espresso, whatever, from a fancy coffee shop, or fennel that may be found in sausage that's on top of pizza. I can't imagine that when accompanying a lot of the things that would be found in said beverage or on said pizza, in said sausage, you would get the same type of benefits with settling and soothing the upset stomach.
Okay, yes. The takeaway message for everyone at home, just to be totally clear, is don't eat sausage to try to improve your bloating symptoms. That is not the solution. Okay. Thank you, Chuck, for that curveball that I was not expecting. I wasn't expecting sausage to get in the mix when we showed up today to talk about herbs and spices. Thank
you. Do you know how many sausage recipes call for fennel? A lot of them.
It's ubiquitous. It's ubiquitous. Absolutely. No, I understand that. Like this is essential. And even when they recreate sausage in a plant-based way, you know, like Beyond Sausage, something like this.
The
Italian version is going to have fennel in it. And even with that, I wouldn't advise that you eat a Beyond Sausage for the purposes of improving your bloating. It's, you know, there's more in there than just the fennel. There's other stuff. And so yeah.
I'm telling you, the old me, though, would have immediately thought that. I would have been like, hello, Pizza Hut. Yeah, let me get a large sausage pizza. I got an upset stomach because it's like fennel's in the sausage. Ergo, this should be good for me. When in reality, probably not.
So yeah, that's not going to work.
1.0 mind coming out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that.
Yeah. Matthew, can peppermint help overall with an upset stomach? So we were talking about IBS there kind of specifically, but what about just the general unease of the stomach?
Yeah, I mean, so a few things. So there are some limitations to peppermint. If you have acid reflux, I would not recommend peppermint. And the reason why is because I mentioned a moment ago, it soothes and relaxes the muscles. So if you have acid reflux, it's going to actually soothe and relax the valve muscle that sits at the bottom of the esophagus. And when you open that up, you are basically inviting reflux to go in an upward direction through that valve back up into your chest. So peppermint, I do not recommend for people that have acid reflux. If you were to do the peppermint tea and you feel fine, that's fine, because peppermint tea is like a very diluted down, mild version of peppermint. But if we're getting serious about peppermint, Chuck, if we're getting serious about it, then actually there is an approach to this that's been very well studied. It's not just, you know, it's not just drinking peppermint tea. I mean, again, there's nothing wrong with that. It can help people. But peppermint oil in a enteric coated or delayed release capsule that's designed to basically release that peppermint oil into the small intestine. That actually, of all the peppermint options that exist, has the most evidence. Now that would be a supplement. That's not something that you're just going to concoct at home. But I just want to be clear that there's these grades of efficacy. And the most superior grade would be that, which would be peppermint oil in a capsule, not just peppermint oil in a delayed release capsule so that it makes its way into your small intestine. That's going to be the most powerful for people that have irritable bowel syndrome and really need a more powerful relief. That being said, this is not to besmirch peppermint tea, because peppermint tea still can provide benefits, particularly to people who have mild symptoms, such as a little bit of discomfort after a meal.
Interesting. I was thinking you were going to talk about like just grab some peppermint leaves, put a little pinch in between your cheek and gum and do it old school style.
You know,
I saw what you did there. Exactly.
I've never been one of those guys. No, actually, one time I was visiting my friend who was at Dartmouth, and he used to do like little dip pouches, you know, like tobacco.
Yep.
And he put it, and so he was doing one, and I was trying to be cool. I was in my early 20s, and I was like, give me one of those. And I took it, and I ended up throwing up, and it was quite embarrassing. So that didn't work out very well for me, and I've never done it since. But anyway, the other thing that I should mention about peppermint is that it's more than just bloating. It's soothing for diarrhea, for constipation, for abdominal discomfort. So like the one limit of peppermint is acid reflux. It's not really great there. But other than that, for most digestive symptoms, actually peppermint's quite nice.
All right, Michael, are there specific spices that help improve digestion and prevent indigestion?
So let's see here. Improve digestion. You know, this is like a tricky sort of question, because in my mind, so I'll just frame this or define this. In my mind, improvement of digestion means less gut symptoms. Right, it means comfort. So, and we already talked about several. We talked about ginger and fennel and peppermint. So let's extend and let's go a little bit further. There's tons of spices. There's tons of spices that are available at this time of year and feel like they fit really nicely with as the temperature cools down. So some of these are like, you know, turmeric would be one. Turmeric and ginger pair really well together. Another would be cumin. So cumin and, for example, coriander goes with curry. Actually, turmeric does too. And you can like sort of put these different spices together and actually they have synergistic effects. And that is garam masala. Garam masala is like a spice blend that includes these different things. And people can find them quite soothing. So, and it, I just, you know, I guess let me just say, Chuck, that I find it interesting that, again, I mentioned that Ayurveda has this 5,000-year tradition. And I find it interesting that where they landed are spices that inherently are so anti-inflammatory to this day, 2024, entering 2025. These are the spices that have the most evidence to suggest that they're anti-inflammatory are the same ones that you will find in a curry. So I just think it's very interesting. And they pair so nicely together. And they pair so nicely in terms of helping you to process and digest things like legumes, which are commonly found in a delicious curry. I'm like salivating thinking about this.
For real. And I'm thinking about this too. It's like a lot of those Indian dishes can be quite spicy, but I don't recall ever having heartburn per se after eating at an Indian restaurant. And I'm wondering now if it has to do with the blend of spices that are in there along with that heat as to why you may not get that reflux type feeling afterward. I don't know. I'm just one man kind of spitballing here, but do you think that there could be any wisdom to that?
I think that there is. I also think that Indian food, particularly the type of Indian food that I like to eat, you know, like chana masala is chickpeas with masala sauce. Yeah, oh, dude, we could talk for 20 minutes about this. But anyway, like that inherently is a rather light dish, right? And now, of course, the spices in Indian food, like there is a level of intensity and heat that is the only competition, perhaps, is the Thai restaurant, right? I mean, like they can go hard with Indian heat. When they say medium spice, you mean hot. You better like hot when you say medium. And if you say mild, if you really want it mild, you better tell them super, super mild. So anyway, I do think that there's something to this, Chuck, in terms of these spices, though, being sort of naturally soothing on some level. And yes, there is such a thing as taking it too far with peppers and with heat. And if you have acid reflux, you should not do that. But it's actually kind of interesting because, Chuck, actually, believe it or not, capsaicin, which is the phytochemical that you will find in hot peppers, it's actually used to treat arthritis as a cream, right? So you can apply it externally to your body to treat arthritis. And then they have more recently discovered, and this surprised me, this was a few years ago, but they've more recently discovered that capsaicin actually is good for people that have irritable bowel syndrome. Now you have to ease into this. So what I'm not proposing here is that you're having an IBS flare and then you go to your local Indian restaurant and you tell them to give you the hot stuff, that's not going to feel good, all right? And it will actually exacerbate it and make it worse. But what I am saying is that for people who routinely consume these types of foods, the body develops resilience to them. And in a way, actually, it makes you feel less pain.
So I want to go back to the cream that you were mentioning for the arthritis. Is that the hot in something like Icy Hot? Is that capsaicin?
All right. So Icy
it's
Hot,
okay.
The Icy
okay
is definitely the
know.
Menthol. I don't know if the hot is capsaicin, but there are, I promise you, if you go, I'm not an arthritis guy, but if you go to your local drugstore, you will find capsaicin cream. Let me just do a quick Google.
That's interesting. I would like think it is the greatest thing in the world if it turned out to be menthol and capsaicin, and that's Icy Hot, which is, you know, this widely used, endorsed by Shaquille O'Neal product.
All right, I'm not sure about Icy Hot. I didn't look into that, but yeah, it's just basically listed as literally capsaicin, or sometimes they put a kind of cheesy spin on the spelling of it. because capsaicin, the way it's spelled, is C-A-P-S-A-I-C-I-N, but there's capsaicin, C-A-P-Z-A-S-I-N. So they got us there. Got the trademark on that one. Capsaicin.
Gotcha.
Good job.
Gotcha.
Guys.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, here's if you're listening to the podcast, I will get an answer by the time I do the wraparounds, or if not, we will go ahead and do the a follow up on the next show. Because no, I'm genuinely curious. You know, I am genuinely curious. All right, let's move on. Talk a little more ginger and turmeric. Take a question from Hannah, who's wondering if you could elaborate a little bit more about how those two can support gut health overall. So we've talked about a couple conditions there specifically, but what about the bigger picture in gut health?
Yes, thank you, Hannah. All right, so both of these spices contain bioactive chemicals. In ginger, it's called gingerol. All right, gingerol. And in turmeric, it's called curcumin. And these are responsible, these phytochemicals are responsible for the effects that they have on the gut. So in both cases, what you will find is that they influence the gut microbiome. So you get actually a rebalancing where they suppress the inflammatory microbes or the pathogenic microbes, and they lift up and elevate the anti-inflammatory ones. So you're shifting your gut in the right direction, the direction that you want to go. When this happens, there is a natural result that is improving and restoring the gut barrier. And as a result of this, reducing inflammation, like deactivating the immune system. When the gut barrier is strong, the immune system is protected and able to do its job more effectively. There's less inflammation. So both of these spices, both ginger and turmeric, are able to do this. Now, if you get into the details, what's interesting is that they're both roots. Okay, they're both roots. And they're kind of like cousins. They're from the same general plant family with unique benefits. Ginger accelerates the emptying of your stomach. This is the reason why ginger is wonderful during pregnancy. And this is the reason why ginger can naturally soothe nausea. It also, because it basically accelerates stomach emptying, can improve dyspepsia. Dyspepsia is the feeling of like, I feel full, I feel discomfort, I'm not feeling so hot after a meal. That's dyspepsia. Right, and the fact that ginger helps to relax, to accelerate emptying of the stomach, can alleviate that. Turmeric, when I think of turmeric, I think anti-inflammatory. Like I literally think of it, Chuck, of all of the herbs, spices, plants that exist, this to me is the closest that we can get to having ibuprofen, a drug, without the side effects, because it activates the same anti-inflammatory pathways that you would activate with ibuprofen. The difference is that ibuprofen is bad for your gut, causes stomach ulcers, bad for your gut microbiome, bad for your kidneys, bad for your liver. Like there's tons of side effects for people that have inflammatory health issues if you're using too much ibuprofen. We want to avoid that. Turmeric can help us to accomplish that. So I'll share a quick story with you. My father, he was 6'7", very tall guy, and it was hard on his knees, and he didn't eat the most healthy diet in the world. Okay. And so he developed arthritis as he was later in life. And it's hard for a big 6'7" guy to get around when you got bad knees. And rather than him being on these drugs like naproxen or ibuprofen, you know, on a daily basis, I said to my dad, here's what you need to do. You need turmeric every day. And you need to pair it with black pepper. Black pepper increases the absorption of the curcumin, which is the active part. All right. And so what's fascinating is that my dad started doing this literally every day. He actually listens to my advice, which is shocking. Most parents will never do that with their children. And actually, he got an amazing result. And he dramatically reduced his dependence on these medications. Any reduction in your dependence on these medications is a step in the right direction. So the point being that ginger and turmeric, you find both of them in curry, You could, by the way, add them along with cinnamon to your coffee. It's actually a spice blend that I love. And they complement each other. And they're both great for the gut, great for the microbes, great for the gut barrier, great for inflammation. And they have their unique ways in which they can provide benefit as well. I should mention real quick before I move off of this, that turmeric is so anti-inflammatory that it has research with inflammatory bowel disease showing benefit.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty powerful stuff. And it tastes pretty good too. By the by, before we get to Ashley's question, you mentioned cinnamon. So Ashley, your question is coming up next because I know you're wondering about cinnamon. I did some research while you were giving that answer, went to Icy Hot's page, and no, the warming effect is not from capsaicin. It's from methyl easy for you to say, salicylate. Does that sound like
methyl salicylate.
Salicylate.
So this is aspirin, the original aspirin, which by the way, comes from the willow tree, right? Like aspirin didn't manifest at Bayer one day out of nowhere. Willow bark was chewed for thousands of years throughout the world. Like very clear evidence in Egypt that people were chewing willow bark to deal with pain issues. They were basically getting early days aspirin. And it's salicylic acid that's the active component. So anyway, what they're referring to here is a salicylate that that may have some anti-inflammatory properties.
Dude, if ever you want to go on Jeopardy, I'm happy to sponsor you. You are just a wealth of like knowledge there. That's some good trivia right there with the willow bark. All right, Ashley's question, can cinnamon help regulate gut bacteria? What say you, sir?
It can. Yeah, so I mentioned a moment ago, a spice pattern that I dig this time of year is ginger, turmeric, and cinnamon. And I will put it into my coffee with a splash of soy milk. And because I find that like just black coffee, I love black coffee. That's the way I usually take my coffee. But when you do black coffee with the spice pattern, it's actually kind of smoother. It rounds out the edges if you add some soy milk. So anyway, much like these other things, cinnamon has these phytochemicals, these bioactives. Cinnamaldehyde is one of them. Another one is eugenol. All right, this is what you'll find in cinnamon. And it's been shown that these things have benefits to the gut microbiome, function like prebiotics. And what we see, like the big thing with cinnamon is blood sugar control, right? This is what cinnamon is known for. It's better for blood sugar control. If you're a person who has prediabetes, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, or diabetes, you should be including cinnamon in your coffee every single day. And but what we think, Chuck, is that the blood sugar regulation that's occurring is probably connected back to the gut microbiome. Because I can tell you that in some of the research that's been done by scientists at Zoe, what they found is that actually the gut microbiome is one of the most powerful predictors of our ability to control our blood sugar after a meal. It's not just what we eat. It's also the way that our body processes what we eat, which is influenced by our microbes.
Mm. Right on, man. Again, just a wealth of knowledge. You are dropping them bombs, baby. All right. Joshua's question, what role do cumin and coriander play in supporting a healthy gut?
Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of touched on this a little bit. And I don't want to sound like completely redundant, but these stories end up playing out very similar. Every single one of these foods contains unique phytochemicals, unique bioactives that have an effect on the microbiome. When you affect the microbiome, you will repair and restore the gut barrier. When you repair and restore the gut barrier, you will protect the immune system and give it the space that it needs to be able to do its job as well as possible. That is anti-inflammatory. All right. Specific to these things. So coriander, first of all, in the US, we know this as cilantro. But cilantro is the leaf. And we're typically referring to the seed. When it comes to coriander, the effect of coriander seed is conceptually quite similar to fennel. So you can think of it like the things that I said about fennel earlier, you can think about coriander as being quite similar to that. Cumin is something that you will find in curry. You also find it in a lot of Mexican dishes. And it pairs so nicely with rice and beans. It's delicious. And it turns out that it has this, once again, anti-carminative effect, which is cool to think about. So we have, again, like, you know, these different cultures from across the globe, they create their food traditions. And then you discover when you apply 21st century science to thousands of years of sort of humans eating what tastes right and feels right to them, you discover that they got this figured out in a quite powerful way where they're naturally pairing together the cumin, which helps you to basically like control gas and digest properly when you eat beans. So pretty cool.
It's neat, man. I find this nutrition science just absolutely so fascinating, and that, you know, there's just doing it kind of the more natural way just kind of speaks to me, as opposed to, you know, doing a binge of junk food and then reaching for a bottle of the pink stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather just, I don't know. It's just a different life. I just see things through a much different lens. This is, I'm sure you do now as well, because you weren't always, you know, the spice master either.
No, and now I'm a spice guy, Chuck.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a spice girl, I'm a spice guy. But, you know, it's the thing about it is that sometimes I think that people need to, so different people work different ways, but like some people need to bottom out, honestly. And that's where I was. And I think, and I know that's where you were as well. And I think that when you bottom out and you just feel so miserable, you just want to feel better. And what you realize is, like, at some point you have to turn your attention to the things that you love in the moment, right? Like, let's not pretend the people who are eating hot dogs hate what they're eating. They love what they're eating.
100%.
The problem is that you scarf down this food and then you pay the price, right? But you don't pay it that second. In that second, you feel pretty darn good. And then like 20, 30 minutes later, not feeling so great. And then you have to lay down on the couch and make groaning noises and everyone's wondering what's going on with you, right? So,
for sure,
dude, man. You know. You've been there too many times. Yeah,
many times, man.
So, and I just think that like when you get to clean eating, it doesn't give you that dopamine hit in the same way in the very beginning. In the very beginning, when you're moving towards these types of foods, it doesn't give you that dopamine hit. But what you discover though is that the way that you feel for hours to come afterwards is very different. And it's like you feel lighter and you feel energized and fresh and capable of doing things and not feeling like the wind was pulled out of your sails. And so, I just think that's the argument. What do you think?
I 100% agree with you. I think we could do a whole show on just that. But we got two more that I want to get to really quickly, my friend. First, from Christopher, I feel like we've kind of talked about this already, but does black pepper enhance nutrient absorption and improve gut health?
Yes, black pepper, you should not hold back. You should apply all spices, including black pepper, liberally to your food and enjoy them. And specifically when it comes to curries or anything involving turmeric, anytime you see that color orange from the turmeric, you should grab the black pepper immediately. Never pull the turmeric out of the spice rack without pulling out the black pepper at the same time, because the piperine, which is the biochemical, again, we've been talking about these bioactives that exist in these spices. Piperine, which is the bioactive in black pepper, will increase the absorption of turmeric to dramatic effect. My recollection is 2,000%. Think about that. If I told you it was a 50% improvement in absorption, you would say, dang, 50%, that's crazy. Bro, I'm saying 2,000%.
That's some serious absorption. So there are certain things that you absolutely need to do. Black pepper with the turmeric is one. Don't forget the black pepper.
Don't ever do
Doing that.
That
is like wearing white after Labor Day. You just shouldn't do it.
If I see you at a restaurant and you're consuming food that has turmeric in it and I don't see the black pepper on your table, I'm going to come over and I'm going to start doing the black pepper thing. And you're going to be like, what are you doing, Dr. B? And I'm like, you know what I'm doing.
You fresh pepper? You're going to be like the pepper boy on that old SNL skit? Would you like some fresh pepper?
Yes, but if I'm going to do it, I want the one that looks like a baseball bat. Like, have you ever been to an Italian restaurant where they pull out the black pepper one? You're like, you could probably suffice with a 4-inch black pepper grinder, but for whatever reason, you pull out some, like, you know, some like 48-inch black pepper thing. And
yep. It's, Damn yeah. thing is so tall, you got to get on a stepladder just so you could grind that son of a gun.
Now you know what man. I want for Christmas. Now you know what I want for Christmas, baby.
I got it.
I hope my wife is listening.
Hey, thank you, Pepper Boy. That is the perfect amount of pepper. You remember that skit? That was such a funny skit. Anyway, all right, let's end with this Lawrence question. What are the best herbs and spices for reducing acid reflux symptoms? I feel like we've also kind of covered this. Is there anything that you would like to add to it for Lauren's sake?
Okay, so a big thing with acid reflux is actually the stuff that you have to be careful about. So you have to be careful with... you have to be careful with peppermints. You have to be careful with chocolate, believe it or not. By the way, chocolate is plant-based for people who are curious. You have to be careful with spicy stuff, acidic stuff. So those are the things to be conscious of. The thing that actually can really help with acid reflux, by the way, ginger can help because ginger helps to accelerate your stomach. And if your stomach empties, then it's sending stuff down instead of sending it back up. So, and to complement that, you can take a walk after eating. Again, taking a walk helps to activate your natural motility. So if you pair that with ginger, it's like really going to help quite a bit. But the thing that can help with this a lot, Chuck, and it's not an herb, but it is a plant, and it's called alginates. And this is a form of seaweed. And it's kind of interesting because there's this new push that's actually taking place. So we went through a phase in my field, gastroenterology, where it was like every single person who comes to the gastroenterologist goes home with a proton pump inhibitor, right? This is what we did for a very long time. And now there's like an increasing awareness. Maybe that's not such a great idea. And also, cutting stomach acid has consequences. And also, maybe cutting stomach acid is not really fixing the problem. So the cool thing about the seaweed is that the seaweed creates what we call a raft. And this is like basically like a layer that exists on the surface of your stomach. And it helps to basically protect so that things don't go back up. So it's kind of fascinating to consider how we're sort of coming full circle here. And we're starting to turn to things that, you know, these were plant-based supplements that were kind of overlooked because the power of the proton pump inhibitor is like they work in terms of how people feel. And when people feel better, then they think that they have the right solution. The problem is like it's not necessarily the right choice long-term. So we want these alternative choices, like alginates.
Right on. And that's not to say, you know, we're trying to put an anti-medicine message out there. It's just maybe... Overprescribed would be, I think, the accurate terminology here. Everything has a place.
Everything definitely has a place. I think my position, I mean, people may be hearing me for the first time here, but to me, my position is very clear, which is I'm a medical doctor. I've prescribed tons of drugs throughout my career with great effect. Where I am challenging the healthcare system to do better is to say we should include diet. We should include lifestyle. We should only add medication when it's absolutely necessary. And we should challenge ourselves to ask the question, do I need this medicine long-term? How can I get this patient off of this medicine? What can I do to improve the root of the issue so that the medicine is not required? So the issue with the proton pump inhibitors is not like categorically saying you should never take a proton pump inhibitor. The issue is that we have people that go on to these medications and they'll be on them for 10 years. Or 15 years, and the doctor never talked to them about diet, lifestyle, or these other factors to address the root of the issue, right? So to me, if you're gonna go on the medication, do it. It's with a purpose, but we should also have a strategy to address the root of the problem.
Amen to that. Hey, listen, one of the things that you can do right now, my friends, to improve your diet and make you feel good, improve your lifestyle, see that purple bag if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook right over my friend's shoulder there. Oh. It's DMN38Tarot.com. Go and get you some of that to fix your microbiome right up. How are things going with that, Dr. B?
Going incredibly well. So I was just like reading a review earlier today, Chuck, and it's really cool. Like if people who are interested, come to our website, 38Tarot.com. We have tons of education about gut health in general. We have a newsletter where we discuss things of all different varieties, not just supplements. We discuss gut health in general. It's completely free. It's a free resource and tool. But we also discussed the research that backs up 38 Terra daily microbiome nutrition. And what's exciting and fun for me is when real people experience dramatic results, right? That's the entire point of being a medical doctor. However you choose to treat a patient, the entire point is real people experiencing real results. So, and it's really cool for me because I don't necessarily get to meet all the people who try 38 Terra, but they write reviews. And we had one come in literally this morning that I read for the first time. You can go to the website and check it out if you like, where it was someone who experienced symptomatic improvement and simultaneously they checked their gut microbiome before and after using the product. And we strategically designed this product with multiple ingredients that have been shown to increase the levels of a bacteria called Akkermansia. Akkermansia has massive anti-inflammatory and metabolic benefits. And there are people who pay ridiculous amounts of money for supplements that have actually dead Akkermansia. And my whole thing has always been, but you can increase your Akkermansia. You don't need to take us a probiotic. You can boost your own Akkermansia. And so the cool thing was, Chuck, I don't know this person. I've never met them before, but what they did is they actually tested this and did a gut microbiome test, started 38 Terra, and they did a repeat gut microbiome test, and it confirmed this, that their Akkermansia levels improved. And along with that, most importantly, they felt better. Their symptoms improved. So that was, I was actually quite, I check these things and I'm like a proud dad. So when,
hey up, man.
Yeah, when you see this, you're just like, dude, yes, this is what it's
That's
about.
Awesome. That's awesome, man. Making a difference. So there it is. And we've got a link in the show description and in the episode notes right there. Take you right to 38terra.com. And oh, by the way, as you're browsing the interwebs, why not head over to pcrm.org/events and get yourself a ticket to Dr. Neil Barnard's Bon Voyage Bash that's coming up in Miami on March 7th. And you might be saying, well, what does Dr. Neil Barnard have to do with this particular episode? Well, he's not here for this particular episode, but right before the Bon Voyage Bash in Miami, March 7th. Mark your calendars. That, my friend, Dr. B, that is when you and I are going to be on stage together doing a live episode of The Exam Room in front of a live crowd for the very first time. No pressure. No pressure.
I'm so pumped. I think it's going to be so fun. I'm really excited about it. And I have to start working on my wardrobe pretty soon here.
Oh, I've already got mine picked out. You can't cop my white pants, man. I already got the white pants on lock. It's just going to be... I'm going Don Johnson. I'm going Don Johnson.
Yeah. And I'll definitely be wearing... It's going to be pitch black at night, and I'm still wearing shades because that's how we're rolling in Miami.
That's how it's got to be. All right. March 7th in Miami, pcrm.org/events. Tickets to the bash on sale now. Tickets to the podcast coming very soon. Dr. Will Bolsiewicz, king of the throne, the toilet intimidator. Sir, you are a friend of all of ours, and I greatly appreciate your time.
Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for hanging out today.
That is my guy right there, Dr. B, the Gut Health MD. Are you getting his newsletters? We talk about this on the show. I absolutely love his newsletter. So many of the people in our health space have weekly newsletters that they send out, sometimes monthly, whatever the case may be. But his is the most thorough and in-depth and fun newsletter that I get. And it's not just because I'm a friend of his that I'm saying this to you. It is genuinely chock full of information, and his personality just oozes with every word because this is something that is truly written by him. It's not written by AI or anything like that. He doesn't have anybody helping him write these. This is Dr. B's words. It is truly the gospel of the gut, according to Dr. Bolsiewicz. And it is a great, great, great read. So if you have not had an opportunity yet to sign up for his newsletter, definitely do that over at theplantfedgut.com. And if you're looking to check out a little bit more about our good boy, No problem. We've got links to all of his social media and other accounts in the episode notes for you. Don't forget March 7th in Miami for our big recording, live and in person in front of the crowd. That could be you there too. Would love to see you in Miami. Tickets for the podcast will be going on sale very, very, very soon, but tickets for the Dr. Neil Barnard's Bon Voyage Bash, those are on sale already. Get yours at pcrm.org/events. So you're talking about two big events in one incredible day, March 7th in Miami. Would love to see you there. And for today, I think that's going to wrap things up. Yep, that's going to do it. I want to say thank you one more time to Dr. B for being here and enlightening us and inspiring us as we look at all things gut health when it comes to spices and getting your digestion back on track. And for everybody here at the Physicians Committee, I am the weight loss champion, Chuck Carroll. Thank you so very much for listening. And remember, as always, keep it plant-based.